just a quick youth announcement. We were meant to do this last week, and I ended up getting called into work and didn't get a chance to. But we're going to have a end of summer bash for all of our youth here at the church. I know most of them have went to school this week in public school, and I know some of our private school kids are going back this coming week. So we want to have a quick get together with them. It'll be this Saturday from 5 to 8. We'll have food, games, fellowship. There'll be an inflatable, just a good time fellowship with the church and our youth, just kind of ending the summer off right with them as they go back to school. So if you got any more questions or anything like that, just see me after church. I can answer for you. If you'd like to help out with anything, just let me know. And other than that, that's the youth announcement I've got. And I'll open us up in a word of prayer. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to once again come to your house this morning, God. Thankful for the opportunity you've given us, God, to come and praise and worship you. And God, I pray that as we meet here today, God, that we humble ourselves, God, and we come with open hearts, receptive hearts, God, to praise and to worship you, God. And I pray that you be in the midst this morning, God. God, that you just be in our church, be with our pastors. He brings forth the word. Be with the singing this morning, God. I pray, God, if there be one in here today, God, that don't know you as Savior, God, I pray that you put a convicting power upon them. God, they come to know you before it's everlasting too late. God, continue to bless this church and each and every ministry, God, that this church is a part of. God, may we continue to be a light in our community, God. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you've done, God, and all you're going to do. In your name we do pray. Amen.
Let's stand this morning. We're going to sing Have Faith in God.
All
almost sit down like y'all did. I mean, he told me to, so I almost did. And then I thought, wait a minute, now I think that's me. But good to see you in the Lord's house this morning. Trust you've had a wonderful week. A couple of announcements. I know Rusty shared with you the youth announcement, but also I want to mention that there's a deacons meeting today. So I'll remind all the deacons about that at 5 p.m. Also, a choir practice as well at 5 p.m., so make sure you make plans on being there for that. If you're interested in being a part of the choir or wanting to sing some songs with the choir, make sure you're here for that. That'll be a good time picking out songs and working on those. Also, next Sunday is our business meeting after the evening service, and nominations will be voted on during that service. So if you didn't get a nomination sheet, that is in the back on the foyer, so make sure you get one of those so you can look over it for next week's business meeting. And so those are located in the back on the table back there, so make sure you get one of those. And then also one other announcement is the adult one Sunday school class is doing a lesson next week on what is the book of life and are you in it. So let me encourage you to come out and be a part of Sunday school. If you're not, we've got two classes, and then next week it'll be a special time as adult one's been going through Revelation. So next week we'll be looking at the book of life and what is it and are you in it. So make sure you make plans on being here for that. And then also by way of prayer requests, I'll mention just a few of those, and then we'll have our time together in prayer. Definitely continue to remember Miss Eloise. Miss Eloise not feeling good this morning, so definitely pray for her. Also, Shelba Paget. This is Margaret's cousin, I think it was, niece. And so definitely remember that as she's in the hospital dealing with blood clots. So continue to remember that. Also, Jack Caskett. This is my wife's dad, my father-in-law. Continue to remember him as well. Tim Mobley, continue to remember him. He's been battling some arthritis. Marty Johnson, continue to remember him as he's in the midst of treatments and all that. Then also Jeff Burt as well, continue to remember him. Several sick, definitely continue to remember Miss Arlene. Arlene's been sick for several weeks, and she's been on several different rounds of antibiotics. Started a new one last week, and it's not really doing anything either, so definitely continue to remember her. She just can't seem to shake what she's dealing with, so definitely pray for her. And then also, if you will, remember Kathy Swangham. Kathy been running a fever since Friday as well, so definitely remember her. And then also Steve and Linda Higgy, their son passed away, so if you will remember them, they're neighbors to the church here, so definitely pray for them. Any other outspoken before I go to Lord in prayer? Yes, ma'am. So definitely remember him. William dealt with the same thing. William got stung yesterday multiple times as well and swelled up, so remember him as well. Tim? Let's remember that. Any others? Yes, ma'am. So let's remember that. Others? Yes, ma'am. Amen. So let's remember that. Others? All right. Definitely remember. I know it was mentioned as well about the incoming tropical storms and how coast of South Carolina could be looking at 2 foot of rain. So definitely remember all those in the tropical storms path and just pray for those as well. Any others before we go to the Lord in prayer? Definitely continue to remember the church. And as it's been said too, our kids, some are already back in school. Some are scheduled to go back to school. And with that, the parents said amen. I mean, no, I'm joking. They didn't. But definitely shift our prayers to those teachers now, for sure. But no, let's do remember our kids and those teachers and those schools. All right. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful, God, that we can come before the throne of the God who not only hears, but the God who answers prayer. God, we're thankful to know, Lord, that you are reigning supremely and sovereignly upon the throne. God, there's nothing that goes by that you're not seeing and that you can't touch and help and heal. God, we make these requests known unto thee, Lord, realizing, Lord, the needs of each name that's been called out. And Lord, and I pray, God, may you meet each need as only you can. We understand you are the great physician and that, God, even with cancer, Lord, you're able. And God, we place these individuals before you and just ask that, God, you work your will, your way out in their life. And Lord, I pray, may you be seen and glorified in the midst of these times. Lord, we think of those that are sick and have been sick for a while. And Lord, we just ask that, God, you just touch and help there. Lord, in the midst of that time of tribulation, Lord, I pray, God, may you just give grace that sustains as well as the touch that can heal. And Lord, we think of these families, Lord, that are dealing with the loss of loved ones. And we just pray that, God, you would grant them with the peace that can only come from you. And God, I pray, Lord, may you give grace in the midst of that hour. And Lord, we think of the storms. And God, we realize, Lord, that you know what's best. And Lord, you are good. And Lord, we just pray as the storms approach that, God, you'd watch over and protect. And Lord, you'd work your will out even in the midst of that. God, we think of our church. And God, we just ask you to keep your hand upon it. Thankful, Lord, for each one that makes it up. And Lord, each one that's a part of it. And I pray, God, enable us and empower us, Lord, to not just make a difference here at home. But Lord, may we touch the world with the glory of the gospel of our Lord and Savior. I pray, God, Lord, that you'd touch these kids as they go back to school, the teachers. Lord, as they begin another school year, Lord, I pray, may you watch over and protect them. And God, and give them the grace that's needed, Lord, to sustain them through another school year. We love you this morning, God, and we look forward to what you have in store for us as we meet together. We meet together with the promise of knowing where two or three of us are gathered together, you're in the midst. God, and we lean upon that today, Lord, realizing that, God, we need help that can only come from on high. So, God, we ask, Lord, you'd meet with your people this morning and allow us the privilege, God, of worshiping you in spirit and truth. And God, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray it. Amen.
Let us stand and we'll sing our offertory hymn. Our first song this morning was Have Faith in God, singing about us having faith in God. Our second song we're going to sing this morning is about it's going to be It Is Well With My Soul. If you have faith in God, all becomes well with your soul. Let's sing this morning. Oh. Jonathan, Ashley, and your clan. Whatever. I think I'm going to start calling them Jonathan, Ashley, and their singers. How about that? Come on, guys.
He asked who and all was singing this morning. I told him eventually we'd have the whole congregation up here if we could, so...
When I cross over, I will shout and sing. I will know my Savior by the mark where the nails have been. By the mark where the nails have been. By his side upon his precious skin, I will know my Savior when I come to him. By the mark where the nails have been, a man of riches may claim a crown of jewels, but the King of Heaven can be told from the Prince of Fools. By the mark where the nails have been, by his side upon his precious skin, I will know my Savior when I come to by the mark where the nails have been. On Calvary's mountain, where they made him suffer so, all my sin was paid for a long, long time ago. By
turn, if you will, this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. I know this morning is, what's that? New Sunday. Yep. So this morning is Youth Sunday. First Sunday of every month, we always have Youth Sunday, so the children stay out in the sanctuary. Normally, we begin this time with a testimony from somebody within the church. I usually take that as volunteers. I'd rather do it that way than voluntold, but I may wind up having to voluntail somebody coming next month. But I've gave you 2 months to consider it. So if you'd like to share your testimony with the church at some point in time in the near future, please let me know. I'd love to do that. As I said, our goal is to try to allow the kids to have some interaction with who we are, where we come from, and what we're about, so that it ain't just a church. It's a family, amen? And it's a family that goes beyond those that are sitting on the pew today, and it reaches back generations before us. So this morning, I'm going to share with you a story from an individual that some of the church may know, but some of the younger ones may not. This is a lady by the name of Cori Ten Boom. I don't know how many of y'all know Cori Ten Boom, but she's best known for a book that was written by her called The Hiding Place. They spent the better part of 20 months, close to 2 years,
hiding Jews during the World War II. They was later arrested for that. And her family, most of them died while in prison. A few got out. Corey was one of them. But her and her sister was sent to a camp in Germany. And she suffered horrible conditions. And at the end of 10 months, she was released. But I think it was 6 days prior to her release, her sister that had been sent there with her died. And so Corey was the only one to get out of there. But Corey's got a tremendous testimony. A lot of the women in the church has heard a lot about Corey Ten Boom. But like I said, a lot of the younger generation probably don't realize that. And that's our history. Amen? That is what's important. Corey Ten Boom was a dedicated Christian and lived her whole life that way. She would spend the ending part of her life in California, and there's where she's buried at today. But a tremendous testimony. One of the greatest things I heard of Corey Ten Boom was she would spend time in areas of the country. She was known to go into places and speak in engagements. And she would spend that time with families. And one of the families that was impacted by her stay, because that was kind of the way it worked, you didn't spend much time with Miss Ten Boom that you was not impacted by her. But one of the testimonies was the family had spent 14 days with her, and the mother had drove her from engagement to engagement. And she said this about Corey Ten Boom. She said, whether you were sitting at the breakfast table or whether she was on the platform, she was Corey Ten Boom. She said, you'd ride down the road, and she said, it was very unlikely you didn't hear the name of Jesus in the midst of every conversation you had with the woman. That's a powerful thing. Our lives should be wrapped with the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wanted to share this little clip of Corey Ten Boom because it ties into the message this morning. So if you'll give the attention to Miss Ten Boom.
That glove cannot do anything. It cannot write. It cannot cook. It cannot not do anything. But when my hand is in the glove, it can write. It can cook. It can do many things. You say, no, that's not the glove. That's the hand in the glove. You are right. You and I cannot do anything. We read it in John 15, without me you can do nothing. But with the Lord you can do many things. What this hand, a glove can do, this hand can do, that is tremendous. What the Holy Spirit, no, what you can do, when the Holy Spirit fills you, that is enormous. Yes, you.
Amen.
The world is very, very sick. There is terrific much darkness and sin in the world. And every child of God is standing on the front line of the business, of the battle. And the battle is very severe. There's no time anymore for a compromise. It is all either. You do belong to the Lord, lock, stock, and barrel, or you do not belong to Him. And then you belong to the enemy. Just imagine when you are on the front line of a battle and you compromise a little bit with the enemy at the other side. You yourself are in danger and your nation is in danger because of you. It is such a joy that you know.
She was a tremendous lady. The first one there was the main one I wanted you to see this morning because she used the illustration about a glove. It's a simple illustration, but a powerful one. Our text this morning, if you'll notice here in chapter 5 of Ephesians, I want you to read with me for just a moment here as we look at several verses. Starting in verse 14, we won't be preaching through all of them. But I just want to share my heart with you this morning. In light of where our young people are, as some are already started school, some are beginning to start school, but greater than that, the fact of where they're at in life and what they've got coming down the road. Those of us in here with any age on us realize time flies. And it doesn't necessarily mean when you're having fun anymore, does it? But if you notice in our text, verse 14, he begins with, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful as we come to this time of the service. We're thankful, Lord, that the eternal changes and differences that can be made to the soul of an individual does not rest upon my words, does not rest upon my talent. It does not even rest upon what this church can do and instill and instruct. But truthfully, the eternal changes that takes place in the soul of man can only be wrought by the work of God. And this morning we lean upon that, and upon that we claim. God, we lean upon You to do the work that only You can do. Lord, we ask that, God, You would take Your Scripture now, Your Word, and Lord, may it come alive from as it's been read, and God, may it be vocalized, not just in the ear of the hearer this morning, but in the very heart. May we hear the voice of the Lord this morning. As always, Lord, I pray, take me out of the way. Take what You've placed upon my soul, now place it upon my lips. I'm asking You, Lord, to preach it with power and with unction. Because we stand in a day and time where the world around us does not need another sermon. They need a word from the Lord. God, we're leaning and begging for that this morning. Speak. Speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wake up is the title of the message. Corrie ten Boom is an illustration of a life of an individual that, truthfully, from a humble beginning, would have never considered a life that truly could have impacted the world as she's done. A young lady born in a period of time before the early 30s that, honestly, if you think about it, in that day and time, being born where she was born, you would have thought would have had very little impact. But as her family took step by step by faith in the Lord, God would turn out to use her life mightily. Even after the war was over, she would then begin to touch continents around the world for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The point of our text this morning is to wake up. I'm afraid that the Church of America, as well as many around the world, are asleep today. Asleep to the realization of the need that's around us, as well as the supply that God stands willing to enable us with. We're asleep in the contentment and the complacency of stuff that has been placed in our path. We've lost sight of the whole purpose that we're here today. Whether you're 6 years old or 96 years old, the truth of the matter is God's got us here for a purpose. As you look at the text and you begin to consider the fact that we need to wake up, as I've read the text and as we look on down in the passage, we see that the first part of this, beginning in verse 15, there's a consideration declared. Why should we wake up? Why is there a need to wake up? I thought how it was fitting to throw this message in on the starting the school weeks. Most of us in here can remember what it was like to spend our summers. It seems like you drifted to staying up later and later and sleeping a little later and later. And honestly, I know some teenagers that pretty well sleep 23 hours a day anyway. But there's nothing like that first day of school when the light flips on and mama or daddy saying, "Wake up! It's time to go to school." Can I tell you, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, wake up. Wake up. And the reason we need to wake up is seen in the text before us because there's some considerations that's declared here. What is life really all about? What is life all about anyway? Why do we get up every morning? Why do we go to bed every night? Why does that happen over and over and over and over again? What is life truly all about? We see in this passage that we are faced with contrasting decisions. Notice what verse 15 says. "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That circumspectly is a word that's used to give diligence, to give heed to where you're placing your feet in life, which path you're going down, which direction you're seeking. It's a term that's used from the standpoint of looking around, making sure you understand your surroundings and your footing, and making sure you're on the path that's going to lead you to where you truly need to go. I love my daughter to death. She's got many talents, but directions is not one of them. If she goes somewhere she's never been before, thankfully we've got technology now to where my son-in-law has her location on his phone and he can call her and tell her, "You need to turn right at the next intersection." When talking to my daughter, her directional influence is she's either on the big road, the little road, or the little small road next to the little road that's beside the big road. When my daughter drives, she does not drive circumspectly. Can I tell you that life is more than big roads, little roads, and small roads? The road that you're on today is taking you somewhere. Wake up. Be aware of where you're going. Don't be like the unwise, because if you're saved by the grace of God, God has given to you the wonderful promise that one day you'll be in heaven. But greater than that, He's given to you the tools to where you don't just have to live life. You can live life more abundantly. You've got the means, the empowerment to where you can walk circumspectly. You can know the dangers. You can know the hazards. You can know the destination. You don't have to wake up one morning and be surprised that you're where you're at. As a pastor now for over 30 years, I have seen lives that are blow me away how they come to where they're at and they just act surprised that their life has fell apart. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you've been on that path for 10 years. Why did you not think it was going there? Walking circumspectly. Because there's contrasting decisions. You see in that text, and you see in the passage, sometime when you get a chance, you can read chapter 5. And you'll see there that Paul is telling the believers that there's darkness in the world. There's light in the world. There's darkness in your heart. There's light in your heart. There's things that's pulling at you, trying to pull you down the wrong direction. And there's things in you that's trying to pull you in the right direction. How many of you Christians are in here this morning and say, I can relate to that? That's life, is it not? Life is full of contrasting decisions. We spend our day, no matter how we try, we spend our day making split-second decisions on how we carry out a conversation, how we respond to a situation, how we respond to temptations, how we react and respond to people. The truth of the matter is that there's a lot working against us. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I have something in me that helps me make the right decision if I'm walking circumspectly. Contrasting decisions. Life is about that. Young people, I hate to tell you, you think peer pressure in school is rough, it don't get no better from here. No matter where you go, you'll go with it. And you're your own worst enemy. It doesn't change. Graduation, yeah, you got a car, you got a career path, but it doesn't change. The pressures of life are still there. Contrasting decisions are around us. But notice verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Not only do we have contrasting decisions against us, but we have competing deadlines. We not only have everything around us working against us, but we're living with the overall darkness of the world and a limited amount of time to make a difference. Do you realize this morning that if you make it to 75, 80, 85, 90, if you make it to that age, it's still a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. You may live a very long life down here, but can I tell you 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 years in eternity, what is 90 years to that? Redeeming the time. Making the most of every opportunity that you're given. We have to make our moments matter. Can I tell you this morning, the reason that we're being confronted, the reason He's telling us to consider our time, to consider our decisions, to consider our deadline, what He's letting us know is life does not have a redo button. Life does not let you go back to square one and start over. Not everybody returns to go. Like in the game of Monopoly. The question is are you making the decisions today that's truly going to put you where you want to be when you're 65, when you're 70? Parents, can I tell you this morning, the kids that's sitting around you and at your knees and maybe down in the nursery, they'll be 18 like that. There'll be 28 like that. You can't have that time back. You can't have that redo. That's why you've got to make the most of your time now. Kids, can I talk to you for a minute? You'll never be 7 years old again. You'll never be 8 years old again. You'll never be 9 years old again. You'll never be 10 years old again. Satan would love nothing better than you to spend every waking moment sitting in front of a TV playing a video game. You say, preacher, you're in the kids' tater patch this morning. But I'm telling you, Satan loves wasting our time. Kids, turn off the game and go tell Mom and Daddy or call up Grandma and Grandpa and say, I want to do something with you. Because the day's coming, they won't be there. The day's coming when you can't have those times back. Make the most of it. It blows my mind, the families that run up and down the road, up and down the road, but never spend time together. They sit at a table with each one of them on their PDAs. Even to the point that the little kid's now sitting in their high chair. I told you, I shared with several people here at the church, my granddaughter was 3 months old and could take my phone and swipe it. 3 months old. Can I tell you, God wants us to spend time with one another. Where two or three of us are gathered, He's in the midst. Spend time with your kids. Spend time with your parents. Spend time with your grandparents. Competing deadlines. Notice, compelling deeds. That's what it says in verse 17. Look what he says. Not only are there contrasting decisions, not only are there competing deadlines, but notice he says in verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you realize this morning there is only one compelling deed that each of us is going to stand in eternity and have to give an answer for? It's not going to be what you did for a living. It's not going to be where you went to college. It's not going to be what you invested in, your house, your car, your bank account, your 401k. When you stand before Christ, He's going to say, what did you do for me? And that's all that's going to matter. God's will is the ultimate balance to the scales of life. You can have a lot. You can put your name in all the papers. They can run you in magazines as being a great person, a great citizen. But I'm telling you, what does God think about you? That's all that really matters in heaven. That's all that really matters in eternity. That's the Scripture. Walk circumspectly. Redeem the time. Because the day's coming when God's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do for me? See, as you think about this, it's hard not to come back to the old poem. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. We were not created just to exist, but we were created to live and to live abundantly. We were created for a purpose that God intended to fill with each of us. But if we're not careful, we can get so distracted in life that our lives become so full of stuff that there's not room for the Savior. The consideration declared in the passage. The condition that's demanded in the passage. He doesn't stop in verse 17. We go on to verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a commanded distinction. But be filled. See, this morning the message is for the Christian. For the person that's in here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, the message to you this morning is you have no hope but to walk in your own blindness. You have no hope but to walk in your own ignorance. But to the believer, there's options. To the believer, you don't have to walk blind. You don't have to walk in ignorance. You have something within you that empowers you to overcome the world and the draws and the pulls of the world. He says it's a commanded distinction. It's an obligation to the Christian that truly is our mandated necessity. As Corey Ten Boom said, without it, we can accomplish nothing. But with it, we can accomplish the will of God. Without it, we cannot even discern the works of darkness, much less avoid them. Can I tell you, parents, it's wonderful to teach our children how to do different things. Play golf. Alan, I figured he'd shout that now. Play baseball, amen. I figured Johnny would shout that now. It's wonderful. Ain't a thing wrong with it. But you know what your kids are going to need more than a talent? More than a sport? They're going to need to know how to find God in this scripture. They're going to need to know how to get on a knee and grab hold of heaven. Because I'm telling you, we're not living in a fairy tale land anymore. The enemy is not in New York. The enemy is not in California. The enemy is next door. And if we don't teach our children how to get a hold of God, Pickens County public school system's not going to do it. The United States of America's educational system's not going to do it. And can I tell you another one? It's not even the private school's responsibility to do it. It's mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa. And we don't teach them through instruction alone. We teach them through experience. Do you know why our kids love to play some of the sports we play? Because of that we play them. Why our kids love to hunt, why our kids love to shop? Well, I ain't seen a kid that don't like to spend money. I think that's just born in them. But do you know where they're learning it? From mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa. For you to tell them they need to pray and never seen you pray, you might as well write it on a piece of paper and throw it in the trash. You tell them they need to study, but they ain't never seen you study, you might as well write it on a piece of paper and throw it in the trash. Until this means something to you, it'll never mean anything to them. I'm telling you the truth. Commanded distinction. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice it's a consuming difference. Filled. Now let me be clear. I'm not being charismatic this morning. I'm not saying this is something we go out and seek. The word here being filled is to cram, to furnish. If you think of it this way, best way of thinking of being filled is if you're filled with sorrow, you have no room for happiness, right? If you're filled with fear, it's hard to have courage. But then if you flip that around and you're filled with joy, it's hard to have sorrow. If you're filled with courage, it's hard to be fearful. See, it's the same thing here. When you and I got saved, I'm not looking to be baptized in the Spirit again. That happened at salvation. You can go back to Corinthians and see where one Spirit baptized, past tense, us all into the body of Christ. That happened at salvation. I got all of God when I went to my knees. I didn't get an increment plan. I didn't get it on installments. I got all of God the day that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. But the problem is, over 30 years later, God still ain't got all of Roger. there's still areas of my life that he can't fill because I will not make room for him. And until I make the room, he's got no room to work with. See, this being filled is just that. I think about D.L. Moody. Some of the young kids don't know who D.L. Moody is, but D.L. Moody was one of the large evangelists back in the day, like Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, some of these men. D.L. Moody was touched two continents. He was powerful. When he would stand behind the pulpit, many people gave their life to Christ through the ministry of D.L. Moody. A group of preachers had gathered one day, and they were contemplating and praying over D.L. Moody coming to town and preaching a revival. One of the young ministers stood up and said, "Who is this D.L. Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And another preacher that knew D.L. Moody stood up and said, "No, sir. D.L. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody." See, that's the difference. You've got all you need. But the big problem is you've not given it to God. You're holding on to it. You've white-knuckled it and said, "I refuse to give it up." But what we see here is being filled with the Holy Spirit is something we're relinquishing to God and allowing God to fill the recesses of our soul. Children, can I tell you this morning, you don't need another church service. You don't need another children's church service. You don't need another youth outing. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the only thing that's going to keep you pure through high school. He's the only thing that's going to allow you to live for Jesus standing in the classrooms at school. He's the only one that's going to allow you to pick the right mate when you get married. You need to be filled. I'm thankful for services where we hear amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I think we should come in this place filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, where our homes is what's needing filled with the Holy Spirit. Our marriages is where that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our parents need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our kids need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's a life-changing thing. A consuming difference. And then notice it's a controlling dynamic. Notice what it's compared to. Be ye not drunk with wine, for wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a point in time in your preacher's life, and I'm not proud of it, where I dabbled there. More than dabbled there, I was controlled by there. And on my best nights, when I thought I had it all under control, I wasn't faking nobody except myself. You can tell a drunk man, can't you? Heard the story of one drunk man lost his keys. He was under a street light looking for it, and a guy walked up and said, "Sir, what are you doing?" He said, "I've lost my keys." And he said, "Well, where did you see them at last? I'll help you find them." He said, "Over on Elm Street." And he said, "Well, what are you doing on John Street?" And he said, "Elm Street ain't got no lights." See, a drunk man has his own logic. A drunk man looks foolish to the world. A drunk man, alcohol not only affects the drunk man, but alcohol affects his whole family. See the comparison? That's what the Holy Spirit should be doing. It should be making us walk when the world says, "I don't know what he's looking at. I don't know what he's thinking." God does. It's when we're walking and it affects not just us, but it affects our families. It affects our neighbors. It affects our friends.
It's being drunk and the Holy Spirit being filled to the place that when people look at you, you wouldn't have to take and write down a testimony. I have surrendered my life to the Lord and I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Your life would show it. Just like you can't hide drunkenness, you ain't going to hide being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you don't think like the world thinks. You don't act like the world acts. And you know the other thing about alcohol? You're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, there won't be anybody that you're scared to witness to. The intimidation factor's gone because you realize greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. And if the grace of God can save me, He can save anybody. Children, what you need starting to school is not a new backpack, though that's good. Not a new pack of pencils, though that's good. I was telling somebody last week, my son went from 10th grade to 12th grade carrying only a carpenter pencil. I never bought him a notebook, never bought him. I don't know how he graduated. I think he paid somebody. It's good to have that stuff. But what you going to need to succeed in life is the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That only comes with salvation and surrender. It's not something you can buy at Walmart, not something your parents can order on Amazon. It's something you can only get on your knees from God. See, I'll end it like I started it. Your life. You can live it for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Without God, that's your life. We can put it in a casket. We can dress it up. We can even say good things about it. Yeah, it went to church on Sunday. I mean, it went on youth outings. But without a hand inside the glove, that glove will never accomplish anything. But with God on the inside, your life can accomplish something. Greenville News may write about you, but it's still just a glove without God. What's your life going to be? Where are you going to be found when you stand before the one that matters? Head bowed, eyes closed. Father, we come to this time in the service realizing that God, if you don't move our heart, there's no reason for us to move. I'm not trying to provoke or promote anybody to move emotionally. My prayer is that you move them spiritually. If there's a person in the sanctuary that's been confronted by the Holy Spirit this morning, it doesn't matter to me if they're very, very young or very old. I pray this morning, God, may they come to a place of surrendering more of their life to you. Allow you to feel more areas. If there's one that's lost, that don't know you, that's never known the free pardon of sin, never experienced what it's like to have God on the inside, I pray this morning, may you move them as well. Give them the courage to step out. Find a place in this altar and call upon your name. For the rest of us, Lord, I pray, help us surrender more. Help us be more. Help us do more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Standing to your feet this morning, Philip coming around to sing a hymn of invitation.
If God has spoke to your heart, the altar's open. If you need me to pray with you, I'll be more than happy to meet you down front. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I'd love to take the Scripture this morning and introduce you to Him. But be obedient to whatever God says as we sing this morning.
I'll carry till I see Jesus.